the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Exactly 2 liturgical years ago, I served for the first time here at St. Paul's. Still serving as a deacon, it was my first Sunday, and I vested in Joe's office and walked into this church terrified. I had been a deacon for almost 6 months, but this was very different. This was not a field education site in seminary where people expect you to not know anything. This was a church that, on good faith, had actually chosen to pay me to be here, and the pressure was on. And I was still in the stage of priestly formation that meant that setting the table made me want to throw up, and processing out to the gospel made me hate everything, because I was just so overcome with anxiety about everything I was doing. So just imagine, first job ever. I'm a first career priest, so it was my first day on my first job in the first service, the 9 o'clock, and it was also Pentecost. I should also add that this is the first time anyone had ever given me a mic. I knew nothing about how wireless mics worked, and I had never obviously needed them before, so it was interesting to be given one. And anyway, the time came for me to read the gospel, and I got the gospel book with all my nerves, and I processed down to the middle of the aisle. It was my first act in the service, and I began reading. And suddenly, something else began too. I didn't know what I heard, but I knew it was a little different than I expected. You see, there's a custom at St. Paul's, which you just witnessed, which is that parishioners read the gospel in other languages while the gospeler reads the gospel. It's a great idea. I love it. The only problem is that no one told the gospeler that was going to happen. And the gospeler might have had some anxiety going in. So it was extremely disorienting for me. And I just was like, what is happening right now? I was like, don't let him see you sweat. Don't show any emotions. Just keep reading. That is your job. And a few seconds in, my mind had started to wander, and I thought, oh, great, now I've figured it out. This must be what it sounds like to have a brain aneurysm. It's like, I'm literally having a brain aneurysm right now. Which sounded totally logical at the time, like not far out at all. And I was like, this is good. Well, if I'm still reading, I'm still alive. So I'm just going to keep reading. So I kept reading. And then I thought, well, you know, I've never had a mic before. What if there's something wrong with the mic and all they're hearing is feedback? And maybe that's what I'm hearing around me is all the feedback. I was like, well, I certainly hope someone will come up and help me at some point in this service. And nobody ever did, so I just kept reading. And then I had another idea. I thought, what if a verbal altercation has broken out behind me? Because, you see, I could tell that some of the voices were behind me, like they were today. And I was like, this is horrible. What if I'm just ignoring it? Like, no pastoral sensitivity at all whatsoever. Y'all need to just work it out. I'm trying to do my job. Get over it. I was like, they're going to think I'm not a good pastor. I was like, but if that's not happening and I turn around and start talking about all the voices, I will surely be sent for another psych eval. And I had already passed all the psych evals, and I felt pretty good about that. So I didn't turn around. I just sort of prayed that wasn't the case. And then breaking through all the thoughts that were going through my head, I thought, wait a minute. What if what we heard in today's reading from Acts is actually happening right now? For just a split second, I thought, what if from heaven, like the sound of a rushing wind, the Holy Spirit has filled St. Paul's? What if divided tongues as of fire have appeared among us, and tongues have rested on some of these parishioners, filling each of them with the Holy Spirit and calling them to speak in other languages? And right as I began to become oddly, no pun intended, but Pentecostal about the whole thing, I heard someone speak in a language that I could actually recognize. Maybe, I think, French or Spanish, just a single word that I knew what language it was. And I figured it out. I was like, oh, this is what's happening. People are reading the gospel in other languages so that we can participate in what it might have been like for the church in Acts. I was like, okay, I've got it now. And in realizing that it was planned and that it was not the Holy Spirit entering the church, I have to confess I was really relieved. And I'm kind of ashamed of that. I'm not proud of that. I'm ashamed that when I was faced with a time in which God might have been present to me and to this church in a way that God was present to the people in Acts, I was so terrified that finding out that things were planned by people actually made me feel like we were more in control. As if the way that we keep things in control is by planning them ourselves. In the reading today from Acts, this magical, mystical, undeniable act of the Holy Spirit leaves people asking if those who were changed and moved by God were drunk. Because as the people must have thought, this certainly cannot be an act of God. Like I thought, certainly it can't be that the Holy Spirit showed up at St. Paul's like the Holy Spirit showed up to the disciples. In the reading from Acts, at that moment of doubt, Peter steps up. He says, don't you remember? Don't you remember what the prophet Joel told us? We were told that in the last days, God will pour out God's Spirit. We were told that sons and daughters will prophesy, and our people will see visions and dream dreams. We were told that all people in all places of the world will receive the Spirit of God. We were told that there will be signs, that the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, and that no matter what, God would appear to each of us. We were told these things, and now they're happening. Don't you believe? I'm ashamed that I was glad the Spirit had not showed up in tongues of fire, because the thought of the Spirit showing up scared me. I needed Peter's reminder, like I imagine each of us do. While I did not think any of you were drunk, because then it was only 9 in the morning as well, I did come up with many other ideas on a scale of lunacy to non-lunacy about what could be happening before I imagined that maybe for a second, it was God showing up to God's people like God has always promised to show up to God's people. If you know me, you know I'm not really the kind of person who clings to last days theology. I don't really try to pierce out the signs and figure out if we're in the last days. But I am the type of person who always thinks we're living in a time of prophecy from old being shown as true, as well as living in a time of newness for the church. I think as we experience new creation in the church, new birth in our own lives, and new visions for the world around us, we are also always being called to remember the words of the prophets and the promises that God has made. So I want to invite you today on Pentecost Sunday to look with me at the church and at your own lives with new eyes, yet to also remember the promises that God has made. Know that when God does what God has always promised, it is extremely terrifying. And you will want to come to any conclusion for how those things have happened other than God. But remember with me the words of the prophet Joel. What are the visions that you see? The visions for your life, maybe for your city, for St. Paul's, maybe for all of Christianity. And how do you feel the Spirit being poured out on you in your life, in your marriage, in your work, in your relationships, in your families? Because oftentimes the Spirit showing up in those places is really scary. It can mean living in a way that means you live differently. Maybe people think you're odd for how you live, but you do so for the sake of the Spirit of God showing up in your life. Letting the Spirit take over in our lives means we let the violent wind of the Holy Spirit move in our lives, knowing that even the most violent wind, when sent by God, can feel like a gentle breeze compared to other alternatives. So don't be like me. Don't come up with a million explanations for what might be happening before you believe that the Holy Spirit is present to you in your everyday life. Remember the prophet Joel and his reminder that magical, mystical things are being made available to us because of the truth of the love and power of God. Because yes, the Holy Spirit can be scary, but it can also be trusted. Amen.